At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Damn, you got a fat ass. But enough about that big old butt of yours. This is comedian Mike Rainey from Porch Fest 2024. And my homeboy Alan Aldridge was gracious enough to let me speak to you for a moment about my new wicker crime novel. That's right, you heard me. New wicker crime novel that is guaranteed to be the funniest, most fucked up thing you read all summer. The story revolves around two lovable losers named Fats and Tommy, whose lives revolve around getting fucked up, sucking fat tits, and the 2 months out of the year where they get to work at Halloween Adventure. Unfortunately, on their last day of work, they are erroneously accused of their boss's murder and have to spend the rest of the night running across town trying to fraudulently cash a check, which will give them the funds to get out of Delco or will put them in jail for the rest of their lives. This book has something for everybody. It has murder. It has stolen ATV chases. It has drug abuse. It has schizophrenic maniacs who live behind 7-Eleven smearing shit in the faces of crooked cops. It has obese Arby's managers getting their asses eaten at the end of a long shift. I promise you, if you are a degenerate like I am, you will love this book. That's Delco Dirtball, available now at onperks.com, which is onperks.com. Get ready for Porch Talk.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and it's been a while, but I have got an old friend here with me. You're going to dig the setup if you ain't seen it. I got Jared Kenny, JFK Headshot on Twitch. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the Twitch username. Buddy came up with it, thought it was fun. Thought it was funny because the whole Call of Duty thing, and that's one game I love, and he was like, what about JFK Headshots? And I was like, that's hysterical. Let's do it.
Yeah, and he matchmakes with a guy called Grassy Knoll. They're a combo.
Yep, we got 1-2 punch. But yeah, I'm trying to play more, like stream more, but it's hard to like commit like a set schedule, like once a week or whatever. I'm still trying to figure out that happy medium. But yeah, I've been playing the hell out of NCAA football or college football 25, whatever everyone calls it now, but I'm still going to call it NCAA. Mm-hmm. Dude, the game is so much fun. It's perfect. I don't know if you got a chance to play it yet or not.
Briefly, dude, I played a couple of exhibition games just over at a friend's house or whatever else, but my nephew is 11 and my brother has it on the PlayStation 5, and man, they sent me a picture that took me back. So my nephew his bedroom is the bedroom that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And the room is still set up the same, very similar to the way that I had it. And they sent me a picture, like my brother was sitting behind my nephew and he's playing college football. And I was like, dude, it's like circle of life, man. Like it's all back now.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like that's funny. That's like conversations that I've been having like with really close people. It's like time's a flat circle, like history is literally repeating itself, like
yeah,
in so many more ways than one. And in this game, like, brought back all those memories that we had like growing up and stuff. It's just, it's awesome. And it's so, it's like, it's almost dangerous though, because like the first week it came out, dude, I would play it, like I would start playing and then I look down and then all of a sudden like 5 hours went by and I was like, what? And it's already like 11 o'clock at night, midnight, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So it's like trying to find that happy medium of like, all right, how much is too much?
Yeah, there's a few people that I haven't seen since the game came out. Like they're ghosts now. I think that's just what they
Oh,
do.
100%.
And no issue with that, dude. I'm thoroughly impressed. I haven't sat down with the dynasty mode yet. But
Dude,
with
that's a whole nother realm. It takes so much, like, but if you want to like actually like get the full experience, like with, you know, recruiting players or whatever, draft transfer portal and all this, it's so detailed. It's so much fun. And like they kind of messed with like the how good the lesser teams was. Like I say lesser teams, I should say smaller schools. They like messed with like how good those smaller schools can get. 'Cause like if you played a dynasty, those smaller schools will like be in contention in the college football playoff like 2 years after, or like 2 seasons. And it's like, so they kind of like dialed that back a little bit. I think they're tuning in to like kind of keeping it super realistic and stuff. It's perfect. It's awesome to watch.
I mean, that was always the thing is let me get my go-to team was always East Carolina
Yep.
Pirates and in dynasty mode. And like 10 years ago, last time we had NCAA, it would take you about 2 or 3 seasons and you're in a BCS national championship contention and you have done built up a hell of a lineup. I mean, the recruits are, your pipeline is opening up, but like from everything that I've seen from just watching online videos or just hearing people who have it talk about it is like real life Sims. Like you have to make sure your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator is happy. You got to watch the pipeline. The transfer portal changed everything because those guys, what they have like a month. So
Yeah, I think so.
their time of, talking them into coming on your team is a whole lot shorter now than, what it takes is senior year in high school. Hey, come play for us. We've been talking to you since you was a sophomore.
Right. 100%. And that's the thing too, like it they do have to keep dialing it. Like when I grew up playing, I played the I mean, I played Dynasty, but I grew up playing Road to Glory or like the Heisman, like that story mode, because like you
Oh,
got to
yeah.
control one player, and I was like trying to control myself basically and my destiny and all this fun stuff. So that's why it's like it's so like it's just it, like I said, it's just the circle of life. It's just bringing up awesome memories from growing up and stuff. It's cool. But they do have to like tune some things and add some things to make it better. But hopefully EA is listening to anyone or, you know, the internet basically, and hopefully fine tuning it.
Well, dude, just like with the gaming community now and like Twitch or even YouTube live streams and just how Reddit or Discord with all the avenues that these game developers have to the people who actually play the game. I mean, there is a real chance to get all the kinks out and have a near perfect game, you
Yeah,
know?
and I think too, like we had so many good video games to play, and then like COVID happened, and then everything kind of shut down, and then it
Yeah.
started working for us. So I think the just gaming industry or just the world in general is like starting to kind of shift in a new direction, but also everyone's like getting back and like doing what they love, and it's cool to see, because like we missed out, especially on movies too. Like there weren't really good movies, there weren't really good shows, so now we're starting to like pick up into the realm of, all right, life's normal now, you know?
Yeah, a lot of the not just small business and restaurants, man. I thought we were going to lose the movie theater here.
I thought we were, yeah, I thought all the movie theaters would be kaput. I mean, there's still a few hanging around, but like, yeah, that's one that I thought was gonna go be gone for sure.
And I guess shout out to Roaring Kitty, Dumb Money on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, it's got Seth Rogen. I think he helped write it and produce it. He's in it, but I think about that. That moment in time with he liked GameStop, and then here came AMC, and who knew that those were going to be the two things that a lot of people were going to need the most during that time.
Oh my God, it's so funny. I should have sent it to you. I might be able to send it to you right now. But there was a tweet. You just brought up GameStop, and this is how my mind works. There was a tweet from GameStop, basically like a message saying like, "Hey, we didn't do this, but it's really funny. And if you actually know who did this, like, you know, please let us know." There was a picture of a there was a picture of a lightsaber. Like a toy thing, Here, I'm just gonna try to find it super quick. I know this is horrible, but there's a picture of a lightsaber, and they might have deleted it. I hope they didn't. Oh, they deleted the tweet. Oh my God, they deleted it.
Hey,
Oh, hold on.
internet gold, you gotta hold on to it.
They did delete it. Yep. Wow.
Mercy.
But it was a picture of a lightsaber. And someone put like a sticker from like a pawn shop on it, and it was like, I don't know, I don't know if you want to censor or anything, but it was like for rectal use only. Dude,
Oh.
was so funny, and GameStop tweeted it out like with like an official like statement, and it was like, although very funny, like, obviously this isn't for that use. It was, dude, it's so funny. I'm really surprised they took it, they deleted it, because it was so funny.
I mean, just with the way that the culture is now and just how social media is just so integrated with our lives now, I think people like that. Like that humor with, especially if it's coming from a GameStop or somewhere like that. And
Yeah, no, 100%.
you know your clientele, you know they're gonna be into it.
Oh yeah, they know their demographic, and they know all of our ages, and they know what we find funny. It was a very good tweet, but they deleted it, or post, or whatever it is. But yeah, it's deleted now and gone forever. Someone probably snapped a couple screenshots. It'll float around, but it was perfect. It was really good.
Well, dude, before we jump into anything else, I did want to ask. I know you told me the other night that you were going out to the open mic. How's that been going for you?
It's super scary. Like, I just have to start being comfortable, or start getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I got funny stories for fucking days. It's just, how do I put that into the art of comedy? And it's learning that, like, it's really, because that's what I love, and like, literally, comedy saved my life. Like, there were so many dark days, and like, you could just fucking turn to comedy and just get a laugh, and that's through scrolling through Twitter and seeing those funny things, or actually watching stand up, and like, that's Kill Tony's. They're doing it fucking perfect. He's,
Madison Square Garden, they just came off of that.
dude, that show was so funny. They did it so good. They know that it's so good. It's just
Yeah,
so written well. Like, it's they're killing it. It's awesome.
that was interesting to me, the way that Tony figured out, because they had done the forum in LA and they did the arena in Austin, and good on his end, because I couldn't imagine being just a regular, possibly first time ever, just in the crowd, and you get your name pulled and you're in front of 16,000
I would
people.
shit. I would shit. I think I did one open mic, my first one. There was like 10, there was maybe 10 people. And then this last one I just did, there was like maybe 18 people or 20 people. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, because no one knows me, So it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable, like, just this, me and you comfortable right now talking, having conversations. I just got to get comfortable telling funny stories around people I don't know.
And it's just repetition. And you know this as well as I do. You're a fan of comedy. And what do they say? It takes approximately like 10 years of working the open mics and eating shit until a comic is considered to be a comic. And that's when you start getting hitting the road, getting your chops, and there ain't no fast tracking. I mean, we've learned that from Brendan
No,
Schwab,
yeah.
Brendan Schwab or however. Two worst comedy specials of all time. A lot of people have been crapping on Burn the Boats.
Is that was that that was Joe was Joe Rogan's, right?
That's right.
Dude,
So the
I
internet.
that he did it was so good. It was just like a long it was perfect. It was like a long, like, if anyone listens to Joe Rogan, a lot of us do, especially our demographic. He turned all things and conversations that he has with people he finds interesting into a comedy set, and it was perfect. It was very good. It was very good. I liked it. I laughed a few times, but like I said, it was like listening to a super long monologue, but I loved what he did. It was fucking beautiful.
It was interesting what he did, and he was talking to Sandler. That was interesting. He had Sandler on this week, and
I haven't listened to that yet. That's one I want to listen to.
the interview is going to be a little lackluster. They talked a lot about comedy and the craft, which was fine, but I was hoping that he was going to pick Sandler's brain a little bit more than what he did. But to do it live like that, because the way I understand, a lot of those specials are shot through two or three different live events, and then it's kind of mashed together to wherever you get the most laughs or however else. But that was live,
Oh.
that was live and just one go.
Like one set. I get it. Okay. That makes okay. I see now. I see how it works. See, that's
So,
this is my dumb brain.
over the past 2 years, man, I've been getting more in the comedy, and was Mike Rainey, and really kind of opened up the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania comic scene. I've had a couple of those guys come down from Porch Fest. We're going to plan to have a few more of them down, and I got into the Kill Tony a little bit, and all the other different the New York comedy podcast, or just wherever the hotbeds are for that, and really getting into it. And man, I wish I had been there for the whole time. I've spent so much of my life from my teenage years up to now just focusing on music, and I kind of left comedy off to the wayside.
Yeah, and that I think, and that's like the fun part, like in life, like you know what's always gonna keep you true to yourself, and that's gonna be music. Like no matter what, and like me, it's gonna be sports. Like I'm so obsessed with all things sports. Like I just know a little bit about all of them. Like I remember we had at one of our like classes before like you separate from the military, they just do icebreakers. So they're like, what's your name? And tell us something about you that we don't know. And I was like, my name is Jared Kenny, and I know a lot of dumb things about a lot of sports. And then you have someone in the crowd that wants to be an asshole. And she was like, tell me something about curling that I didn't know. And I was like, well, the US men's team brought hold a gold medal, like the last Winter Olympics, and it was the first one ever. And they're all like, what? What? And I was like, that's just how my dumb brain works. Whenever the Olympics are on, I watch the Olympics. Whenever sports are on, I watch sports. That's the great thing about them. Like, that's my safe place, and I love it.
The thing I enjoyed most about this Olympics was table tennis, and it is
Oh my God,
reignited.
yeah.
It's reignited something. I've got to go represent the United States. So currently, as we speak, I am trying to figure out how one goes about going through the ringer for representing one's country. Could you imagine? Could
I
you?
looked up, dude. It's so funny you said that because you know the guy with the shooting the gun meme?
Oh,
Because,
yeah.
dude, I looked it up, dude. I was like, how do you get into Olympic shooting? I swear to God, it was like, so I looked it up and I couldn't find a straight answer because all they shoot are little BBs or whatever. And I literally spent about 2 hours trying to figure that out. I was like, I could fucking do that. And then I didn't find an answer and I gave up. But that's how my brain works too.
And I'll tell you, like, with the shooting, it's funny. I've a friend of mine, Steven, we do the open mic at Munson & Brothers, and he'll come play, and then just to sober up everybody, we'll all sit out in the parking lot, and Steven he brings his slingshots. He's got all kind of different models and all this and that, and he's got a target inside a catch box. The target is about the size of a penny, and he'll set it up 20, 25 yards away, and he'll just be ding,
Wow.
and we were and, you know we're coming off the Olympics, and all the memes from the shooting is like, Steven, have you ever considered like shooting competition, man? And
Yeah.
he's like, what you have to understand, he's like, I'm good here. If
Under
you were
pressure is
to,
a different thing.
yeah. And then also he's like, if you were to see some of the slingshot groups I'm in, there's one guy who has got it pulled back. He's looking into a mirror, and his target is a water bottle with the cap untwisted a little bit,
Yeah.
with a drip of water coming out every now and then. That guy took a BB looking in a mirror and shot a water droplet.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, this dude is
See, that's
nuts.
art, dog. That's art. That's an art form, and we're all artistic as shit. That's beautiful. It is perfect. Dude, it's
Yeah.
so funny. Like that's the thing. Like those videos, like dude, that's all it takes is like one of those to go just fucking bonkers, and then it can make someone or break someone overnight. It's insane. That's the power of the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to just OG YouTube, FPS Russia. I remember w watching his videos all the time, and he was trying out all these different guns, and he had had the explosives and everything. I have no idea if the channel's still relevant, but I remember back in the
I think they shut
2010s.
him down. They shut him down.
That would
They
make
censored him.
sense. That would make sense. But I remember in the 20-teens, man. I mean, that was all we were watching in college.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that in high school. Dude, it's funny you mentioned the slingshot thing. And I was like, slingshot, does he mean the kid from Big Daddy? You know, the kid from Big Daddy, and he kills all the birds. That's the instant, that's where my brain goes to. So, hey, maybe that actor's in one of those slingshot groups.
Maybe.
Who knows?
That was a twin.
Oh yeah,
That kid.
the Zach and Cody twins. I'm sorry, I forgot their names, but yeah, that's what were they? But were they both in that movie?
They were swapped out
Okay,
of scenes.
I got you. Okay, that makes sense.
Man, shout out to Sandler. I'm looking forward to Happy Gilmore too.
Dude, I am so excited for that. So I'm so excited for that. So excited,
And see,
and it
just to
brings
go
me
back to.
back. No,
Go
you
ahead.
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I don't want to talk over you.
Yeah, just to go back to that Rogan interview for a second is if I were to have Sandler on there, and maybe he doesn't want to do that, but I would want to talk about the creative process and like go through each one. It's like, how did you come up with the premise for this movie? How did you come up? Okay, Bobby Boucher, some of Billy Madison, whatever else, right? Or even the goofier things up to like a Hubie Halloween or the serious things to Spaceman or Uncut
Uncut
Gems. It's like,
Gems.
yeah. Or The Basketball Recruit, which,
Yeah, that was a wicked good movie. I like that. I think that's because I mean, Adam Sandler grew up in the same area I grew up in. And it's like it's just his love for sports, and he just tried to shift that into an art form and tell those stories in a comedic way. I think because I think his brain. I'm not gonna say I'm not even gonna compare my brain to his because that's fucking an idiotic thing to do. But as a kid in the New England area, I think that's how a lot of our brains work, and like we just know so much about different little sports. And he took those fucking reins and made perfect forms of art. And those are classic movies, and they will live on for fucking ever because they're perfect.
Yeah, I mean those are definitely going to be movies that pass on. I mean, just like my brother to my nephew is like he's old enough now to start watching those Sandler films, and just to be able to pass that on is this is gold.
Yeah, they don't make them like that no more.
Yeah,
I don't think they might, but I don't know.
I don't think
Not for me
so.
to say.
I mean that style, like it's going to be curious to see how Happy Gilmore does with today because you really don't see a comedy film like that anymore.
I would like to hope. I don't know the details of Sandler's contract, but I remember he signed a big one for a lot of movies, I think. And since Happy Gilmore 2 is going to be on Netflix, I would really like to hope that he had a conversation with someone and was like, if we want to make this perfect, I need full control.
Yeah.
And I hope that Netflix said, okay, because it's a subscription service and it's not supposed to be like on TV. You know what I mean? So I think they can get around some things doing it that way. I hope. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that how all that process works, but that's just where
Yeah.
my brain goes.
Because I know the Shooter McGavin account on X is one of my favorite follows.
Perfect. It is so good.
But,
Dude, that I he's coming back and they're gonna bring like a lot of new people, John Daly, Tiger Woods. At least that's from the stuff I read. And I think that's why Joe Rogan didn't want to get like touch too much on that, because he didn't want to give too much away. He wants it to be like a, because Netflix is such a big fucking platform. I think that's why he didn't really ask those kind of questions. And I get it. But my brain and your brain work exact same way. I'm like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah, that's all I want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
but
and
I mean,
that's a
and he
thing too
did.
with Adam Sandler. I'm sorry, I keep talking over you. With Adam Sandler, like, remember his old songs, like from Eight Crazy Nights too. Like he plays the guitar, like he is so talented. Like, and this is my brain working, but it's just bringing up old shit. But yeah, like those old songs, the Hanukkah song, this, that, and this, like they're fucking funny, and it's good. It's good music too.
He alluded to that in the interview, and he was talking about when he got back into stand up, I think 8 years ago, and he's got his special. It's going to be coming out on Netflix end of this month. But that was one thing that he eventually found that he had to get away from. He said as a comic, it was nice just to show up, and that was all you had to bring, and you didn't need to have the guitar and the amplifier or even a piano guy. He's Let's draw it back, keep it simple. It's just me and a microphone. Because I mean, you think like Bo Burnham or even Owen Benjamin used to do that style to where they had a keyboard and they were going to do a little song making fun of whatever. It works.
Yeah, it does work. And that's the funny thing too, like, and it's like that the open mic I went to last week, like there was someone who performed, I God forgive me, I don't know his name because it was my first time with that group. But he sang funny songs with a guitar and it was fucking funny. One of them the song was like Drake versus Kendrick. It was really good.
Nice. Hey, how's that culture with the open mic? When like I haven't never really frequented an open mic when it comes to comedy. The host, or even the group of people that you're working with, or is it kind of tight knit to where they'll come up after you get off the stage, be like, "Hey, this worked, that didn't work. Do you want to joke right together sometime?" How does that work?
Yeah, I don't. So that was like my first time in like that kind of like actual, because the first open mic I went to was like me and the wife, and it was literally like me. All right, let me just I just off the top of my head, let me tell a funny story, and it was just a story about going to a concert, and so I did that. I was super nervous. I think I did like 4 minutes, and like no, I didn't even know. And I just recorded myself and I was like, let me see how long I can do it. Just be super nervous. So it was like 4 minutes. And then when I was done, like that creative process just starts, what could have I, said better or done better or changed this, changed that. That fucking goes. And I think that's what makes me tick. It's like, how do you perfect something? You know? But to answer your question, this last second, the second one I went to, I like to keep my circle really, really small. So like I kind of stayed off like to the side just to watch everyone. I just want to see how the process works. But yeah, it's like all little groups and they're all talking, and then one will go to another and talk, and then one will go to another and talk. I don't know what they're talking about, but that's obviously what they were doing. It's none of my business. And then you could kind of tell when they're all getting up to go inside, and it was hosted by someone. Like I said, I'm sorry, I don't know his name. Yeah, he hosted it, and I think he did his first set. It was really like you could tell the people who are fucking doing it, because it's just telling that story in an art form. And yeah, it's just it was really cool. And like you could tell, like all the people who have been doing it, they're like the first three, four, five, six spots, and then the people who are starting to work. And then I went up and I was like, so this is what it feels like bombing. All right. Like, that's just how it is. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool to watch. I definitely want to get into it more. They do it on Tuesday nights.
Right on. Is that at Big Beach or?
No, that's up in Mobile.
Oh,
He
that's
sent
right.
me the. Hold on, I'm gonna get it real quick. Carson Taylor, shout out Carson Taylor.
Okay.
He's the one that kind of. I saw him down in down at the Wharf. That was my first one, and the second one was up here, up in Mobile. Here it is. Tuesdays, Oyster City in Mobile, 7:30.
Right on.
But yeah,
Shout out.
shout out Carson Taylor.
I
Thank you for
wonder,
giving me that.
and I don't know if he's still into it or not, but Johnny Havard, I used to bring him up to do comedy when we were still doing the festival at the house, and he used to frequent the open mics in Mobile. I have no idea if he's still doing it. I still think he's funny, but I don't know if he's still trying. I'll have to tell him about that. Well, dude, you sent a short little video of the New England area. You had a Patriot legend, and you also had a Red Sox legend. What was going on in that clip?
Oh no, so that clip that was Alex Pereira. That's a UFC fighter. He's the light
Pereira.
heavyweight. He's the
Okay.
light heavyweight champ. He speaks very little English. I think he understands it when people talk. But Tom Brady, his ex-wife was from Brazil and he speaks Portuguese. So, yeah, just I think that like inter sport crossover, like there needs to be so much more of that, because there's so many big heads and so like so many, not big heads, but figures, so many big figures in each sport. And then all you need is those people to just literally have a conversation, and it creates a whole new, oh my God, look at all these people like that were fans of him, and that now, what I mean? It's cultural. It's awesome. It's awesome to see
Yeah, man.
one that I didn't expect. Fucking Tom Brady talking to Alex Pereira. If that was not on my bingo card for this year at all, but we need to see more of it.
Yeah, it does seem like that, especially now, like Brady and now that he's retired, and some of the legends or the goats have more time. I'm wondering, you're always quick to see the camera pan to them when they're in the crowd at a UFC event or at a NBA game, whatever else. But yeah, I wonder what that could do if you keep on crossing the pots with that with sports. I think it could open up, and I think I remember high school. This was back with Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. That was GSP was huge. We were all GSP. Dan Henderson with the Michael Bisping. That was a big thing. The UK versus the US. And that was when I remember in nowhere Alabama to where we had finally heard about it, and we were watching it, and we were engaged. And now it seems like UFC is quickly becoming one of the bigger sports here in America, probably the world, just the
Yeah,
takeover itself.
100%. I can only imagine the like looking at that chart of like numbers or whatever, like how many eyeballs they get. It's probably substantial because like you said, like I think like American football, like oops, sorry, the dog made a noise. American football, American baseball, American basketball, like we have like the NBA, MLB, NFL, like they have the corners marketed, like that or the market's cornered, sorry. And like the UFC, like they have so many global figures that are literally from around the world. You got China, Russia, fucking Brazil, literally South America, North America, name it, you have a fighter from those countries. And all those eyeballs from that country is gonna be on it. Like it's awesome. It's cultural diffusion, it's at its finest, it's
I mean,
perfect.
it goes back to Rocky IV, man, with fighting the Russians.
I know.
It is that thing to where it's almost like the Olympics. You have two different countries, and especially if it is for a title fight, it's like, well, who is the best? And
Yeah.
obviously, let's say if it was American versus American, it's a little bit more difficult to pick. You'll pick on like personality, whatever else. But even if you despise the American, who's fighting someone from China or Russia or wherever else, you got to pull for him.
Right. 100, 1,000%. And that's too, like I thought it was funny. What's his name? Dricus du Plessis, DDP, and sorry, Israel Adesanya are fighting tonight, and this is Izzy's first shot back at the title since he lost it. And I think he has that fucking hungry dog.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Back in them, something sparked it. So it should be very fun to watch tonight.
He's always fun to just watch in general. Oh,
Yeah,
style
100%.
bender.
He's yeah, the style bender, dude. That's like he. I mean, literally, it was a passing of the torch from Anderson Silva to him, and like it was beautiful. It was perfect. It like you couldn't write that story better. It's gonna keep happening. Passing of the torch, this and that. And it's just, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, because you have so many. We had Eric Anders on Jake's show, Man Up, and he came over from Birmingham and was on. And he's every now and then I'm starting to see him on the cards. And I remember watching him play at the University of Alabama, and I used to watch him on UFC. I was a fan, and I mean, he's still incredibly competitive. But like with Israel Adesanya or even Conor McGregor. Probably the all-time best at this, as far as name recognition and people, it's going to bring eyeballs to the screen just because who's there. He has that power. Sean Strickland has it.
It's like creating that, it's just creating a following and just being your true to yourself, you know?
Yeah, and
I
even
think, and
though
no, go
like
ahead. You're good.
they're two different, but if you take professional wrestling, you know, Brock Lesnar has done both. But I mean it, and he probably understands it. Better than anyone because he's been on both sides, but it is that building that persona and you be the hero, be the heel, and I think like the art form and that craft is truly being brought over to the UFC to make it a million times better when it comes to fanfare.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. And I remember a while ago, and he's kind of changed his stance on it. I remember Dana White was like, I could be very wrong. I'm just going off my memory. I remember, I think he said absolutely not to like walkouts, like how the WWE does it. He
Yeah.
said absolutely not, like with the pyrotechnics and this and that. But that's like, that's what the fucking people love. And like, I get it from a business standpoint because it's going to cost way more money, you know? But then again, like it's a fine line. It's such a fine line. And I think he's starting to let these fighters with big personalities and big followings like express themselves. I mean, you see it now in the shorts. Like they all get customized shorts. It's perfect. Like all the fighters used to sell advertisements on their short, and that was how they, you know, made more money. And then obviously the company signed a strict deal with, was it Reebok at first, and then now it's Venom. And the fighters are like, hey, let me express me. And it's perfect. It's just the evolution of, you know, the sport. It's beautiful.
Yes, it's been great, like kind of growing up with it. UFC 1, Hoist Gracie and all that. I go back on YouTube and I watch the clips, and it is crazy to me how far it's come over a short span of time.
Yeah, 100%.
And I was watching, I don't remember the name of the podcast, but the guy of I thought it was pretty remarkable that he said it, but he called out Dana White. They had Dana White on, and he pretty much told Dana that he thought the slap fights.
Oh yeah, he thought it was dumb, right?
Yeah, he's just like, it's dog shit, dude.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like people are gonna have those thoughts and whatever, but like, and that's like the full circle moment that I think I've had. Like everyone's gonna like what they like, and if slap fighting or slap boxing or whatever, people like it, that's good for them. It's not, I mean, it's not something I like, but if I watch a crazy knock, like I'll watch the clip 100%. But
I like
yeah,
watching
I mean,
this.
that takes
I
a
like
lot of
watching
balls to say
the
that to Dana White.
yeah. So respect on that, and it would definitely be one of those moments. And you know, Dana came back with class. He was like, "Well, what do you not like about it?" And the guy told him, he said, "Well, it's practically the same outcome each time. The guy gets slapped. He either falls down or he loads up and slaps the other guy." And Dana was like, "Do you like boxing?" He said, "Cause boxing is kind of that way. You could argue that there is a round.
Was a perfect rebuttal.
There's a round and there's different styles." But he said, "All they're doing in boxing is punching each other. Like, what's the difference?"
Yeah, that's the perfect rebuttal, like comeback for, because like that, like combat sports, especially like obviously there's so many different ones, and that's why MMA is like, or UFC, people will call MMA and UFC the same thing for whatever reason. But like the UFC, especially because like they're like the top tier, right? They take all those different people who, you know, who have done taekwondo or have done karate or have done boxing, have done wrestling, and they're trying to put all those skills together and fucking, you know, be the ultimate fighter because that's what the fucking company is. It's beautiful. But yeah, Dana White, he's such a boss, dude. That was such a good comeback on him. But that's basically what it is. It's like an evolution of sport, you know? And I think that Sphere, that show at the Sphere, is going to be fucking ridiculous. That's going to be so much fun to watch.
Well, anything else to do in sports, man? Because I did want to move on over into you just came out of being in the Navy. You're a veteran now, and the political climate in this country is at a boiling point. And interesting enough, the country seems to be focused on the vice presidential picks rather than the presidents. I've never really seen that done. I wanted to weigh in. They're both veterans, Walls National Guard and Vance Marine. So I understand Vance saw live combat and Walls did not, but a veteran is a veteran.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and it's just, and I get it, it's in the political realm and I don't understand that. And obviously my views or what everything I'm about to say don't represent my former employer or my current employer. But yeah, there's just so much divide, and you know, and like, it's just going to be a dick swinging contest and like, oh, well, I did this, I did this. And then other people go, well, I did this and this and this, that's better or that's more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, stop comparing like everything that you've done to what other people have done, because, you know, everyone handles shit different and they compartmentalize and they handle it on their own. And it's just like, it's so unhealthy. It's just unhealthy for everybody. And like, and for vets, at least, that's all we have are each other and we need to lean on each other. And it's just, I mean, I get it. It's the whole election thing. Like, they're trying to draw the line, but yeah. There's a line not to be drawn, and it's like trying to separate veterans. At least that's the way I see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way that I always understood it, you know, the president is the commander in chief, and Columbus has an Air Force base. We have a surplus of airmen, pilots. I think our Air Force base is number one in the country for training pilots. Neither here nor there, but we interact with them on a daily basis. They come, the Munson brothers. Some of them are musicians. Some of them just like to come have a pizza, have a beer, and it's interesting getting to know them. And it's almost just like college, to where you'll spend a year to 4 years getting to know somebody, and next thing you know, they're being stationed overseas or they're moving to a different base here in the United States. And one thing about it, if you ever try to talk politics to them, they keep their personal politics to themselves, as I believe most people should, because it's nobody's business but yours.
100%.
I've never seen two people arguing on the internet to where at the end of the posts and the 76 comments and the dog piles, to where everybody came together and sung kumbaya at the end. It was like, you know what? You're right. You totally changed my mind. It's never that. All you do is...
It's never.
You further divide the line, and I see it just within like the music community, is people are no longer friends. People will no longer associate with one another. And the election season is over, but the beef is not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you said, it's just the election season, and they're trying to draw lines of divide, and that's all every election season is, basically. And it's fucking sad. I hate it, but I just, you know, you got to put down the phone. You got to reset your brain, you know, do what you love and keep on keeping on, because the powers that be is nothing we can do. All we can do is vote, or you cannot vote. You also have the freedom and right to do that, because people have mm-hmm. given their life to give you that freedom. And a lot of people forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that it was ridiculous. I've never seen a political campaign to where they focus so much on the vice presidents. And like, just back to the point I was making earlier, apples, oranges, arguing, but they're both veterans and trying to divide our veterans over this is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. But then again, like, it's just the nature of the beast that it sucks. It just sucks to watch, and we just got to all kind of hang through it together for at least the next fucking year and a half.
Yeah, and I mean, at a time like this, man, it's, you know, we really haven't had that moment in America to where it really felt like we were a united country, probably since 9/11, and it continues to get worse and worse and worse. It seems like it's really escalated and multiplied since 2015 and 16. But we're way off the track now, and I don't have any idea what it takes. You would have thought maybe a pandemic or whatever you want to call COVID would have done a little bit to unite the country, but it didn't. It only seemed to further divide us, and I have no idea where the off-ramp is for this or how we begin to fix this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answers either, but that's what it takes. It just takes people willing to have conversations like me and you are right now, and just like people have to realize they're not going to change anyone else's mind. It's just having these conversations and whatever with close people, and they're hard conversations to have, but you know, you have them with the people you love.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy. And it's true. For the most part, I bet it is if you see an American flag hanging out somebody's house, and I've seen the post 1,000 times, you can pretty much generalize who you think they're going to be voting for, and you're probably right. That's a very wacky thing to say, but at the same time, that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I get what you're saying. People will probably think that too. That's insane. But every, you know what I mean? Everyone else has their own ideas or whatever. Everyone's brain works different.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I'm, at least within the last year, that I've noticed everyone's brain works different. And it's beautiful because that's what makes us, you know?
Mm-hmm. And even it's been wild, like with the Man Up show that's live on YouTube, and every now and then we'll have somebody new hop into the live feed, and I'll usually wear my Porch Fest shirt, and it says Porch Fest 24. It looks like a political shirt, like, you know, it would be like Trump Vance or Harris and Walls, whatever, you know, typical political shirt.
Yeah.
And we'll have somebody come in the chat, and they'll be like, Harris 2024 or Trump 2024 or whatever. And we're kind of dumbfounded when we look over there at the chat and be like, we weren't even talking about politics. What are you talking about? And then I look down and be like, oh, he probably can't read my shirt. I was like, hey, this is a music festival shirt, dude. Like, it's 2024. It was a political year, and we thought it would be funny if we mocked up a whole bunch of t-shirts. And now we have over 80 something people wearing these t-shirts like billboards, who at first glance you would think it's a political expression, but no, it's just a music festival that we're cultivating and that we're loving on.
100. Oops, excuse me, I almost just burped. 100%. And that's the thing too. That's like, I think that's brain rot in a sense, you know, like, yeah. People would automatically assume that's like, that is a, like, for one way or another. And it's like, it's just brain rot. 'Cause people are so quick to like reply or do something or say something, mm-hmm. and it's on the internet. And then it's like, well, they just misinterpret whatever the message is.
Yeah, and I mean, even like the way that you preface, like before we even went into this, it's crazy to me that, I mean, you can lose your job, you can lose everything over a social media post, or if you were to say something in public and the wrong ear heard it. I go back to Tenacious D, and you know, with Kyle Gass, they brought the birthday cake out. He blew out the candles, made a wish. He said what he said, whether he was joking or not. That cost them a tour.
Yeah, you that's know, see.
They canceled their entire tour over that. And Australia, that's where they were that night. The Australian government put out that they were expediting them out of the country. They didn't want them to be in that country anymore.
Holy shit.
It's like, we do not tolerate that. We don't care if it's a joke. You don't talk like that here. And, you know, look, I mean, look at where we're at.
Yeah. It's bananas. Just freedom of speech meant something. Obviously there's things that you cannot say in public, and like there's things that you can say to each other in private, or and there's things that you can say to yourself. And the idiots don't know how to differentiate, because they'll just say shit. And like, it just, that's, and then cancel culture will just fucking come so fucking fast, and it doesn't matter. And it's a fucking freight train. And I think that's why, like, again, to go back to Jaron Duran saying the word that he did, I think that's why Boston culture, like not Boston culture, but like the people in Boston, like Jaren Duran had the highest selling jersey count in a 2-day span ever. That beat Shohei Ohtani when he joined the Dodgers. And I think the beautiful thing about it is because people who are fans and actually know Jaren Duran's story know that his message was like, is fuck him. That's his quote. Like he wears t-shirts with that. And the MLB was like, you can't write that on your, whatever it was. And he was like, okay. But he, you know, he went through a period of his time in life where he had suicidal thoughts and he came out with that and it helped him become who he is. And that's the mentality he has. Fuck him. Like, I don't care what people say about me. And then he got caught on a hot mic because he told a fan to shut the fuck up. I think I don't know if I'm wrong, if I'm right or wrong, but I believe the game was in Boston. I could be very wrong. I'll have to rewatch the clip, but like it's just sick people. It's just sick people. That's all it is.
I'm blanking on
it's
the
just pictures. Cancel culture will fucking come at you so fast, and it's disgusting.
I'm blanking on the pitcher he pitched for the Atlanta Braves, and I am just blanking on
Greg Maddux or Tom Glavine.
He was fairly controversial.
Jake Shield? No, not Jake Shield. Yeah, he pitched for the Red Sox because after every, I think we're thinking of the same person. After every pitch, he would swear. Like if he missed, he'd be like "fuck!" Like he would scream it. Like whoa, but like that like mindset that like those batters that one at bat and stay focused, and a fan was saying some dumb shit and he told him to shut the fuck up. I'm trying to think of that fucking that picture you were talking about though.
It's gonna come to me. Of I can't even think of the actor. He made it in a TV show about it. It's not Eastbound Down. It's the other one.
Oh, I love that. I love that show. I almost said movie. Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers. Okay, and the pitcher pitched for the Atlanta Braves. Who was that actor? Danny McBride.
Yes.
The pitcher and Danny were actually born in the same hospital in Georgia. They actually had like in real life a lot of things in common as far as where they're from and how they grew up, and it was pretty crazy that Kenny Powers went on to pretty much be about this baseball player, but he went down.
No shit. Oh, I know who you're talking about now. I know exactly who you're talking about now. I don't remember his name, but I know the story. Yes.
I had an autographed baseball from him, and Mike Rainey, he's a big fan of him. And when Mike came down to Porch Fest, I gave him the baseball. I was like, this is yours now. I can't remember the guy's name, but his stick was, he went down and pitched in Puerto Rico for a time, and he actually learned the language. He learned to speak Spanish. And so when he got back to America, he would always wear a shirt that said, speak mm-hmm. English, speak English, you're in America. And he was catching a lot of flack over that. And then he had, you know, he absolutely hated New York City. Because he had this famous story about riding the New York subway. And like, he made all the jokes about all the different walks of life that you would see on a subway. And mm-hmm. he made the entire city hate him. And it was crazy. He would go on to play for the Mets for, I think, one season. And then he would eventually, I think, after that, he retired.
Yeah, I do know. I do know that exact story. I don't remember his name. I would have to take like 2 minutes to Google. I don't want to take any more of your time.
No, you're good.
But I do know that story. Yeah. And it was like in the early thousands or like, right. Wasn't it like in the, or mm-hmm. the late 2000s
right.
before 2010? Yeah. Or it might have been in the 90s. It might have been even later or before that.
I'm going to pull it up. I cannot believe I don't know the guy's name, dude. It's going to bother me. It's going to drive me insane. Hang on. John Rocker.
Yes.
John Rocker.
Yep, John Rocker. That's his name.
Yeah, so I really believe that that's where the inspiration for Kenny Powers and or even like what was the Righteous Gemstones?
Yep. Yep.
That was an actual church family like in Danny McBride's area there in the Carolinas. That was inspired by something real that Danny was aware of.
Wow.
So once again, like going back to you talking about comedy and the art, it's bringing something that actually happened and making it funny.
Yeah, it's part. It just there needs to be more of it, you know.
Yeah, so
I love
mean,
it.
And I think like comedy, and you'll hear it on Kill Tony or even some of your favorite comedy podcasts. Not maybe comedy is the way that we'll be able to heal all this and get it back to good.
Yeah.
I would love to thank music, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
And that's a good thing too, to circle back on this. I don't know if people in your realm or if you have heard his speech, but Jim Valvano's speech before he or when he won the ESPY, have you ever heard that? Like listen to it from, you know, beginning to end.
I
It is
haven't.
one of the most beautiful speeches I have ever heard. I'm not going to say anything or ruin it for anyone, but he basically says a culmination of words and basically talking about you've had a hell of a day and laughter is one of it. And if you can spread laughter throughout whoever, it might be those people that need, you know, a laughter or a, you know, something in their life to fucking cheer them up or change their mood. Like it's just that's what it is. But if I highly recommend everybody, it's like a 4 minutes speech. It is perfect. It encompasses of what a beautiful human being or.
Yeah, right on, dude.
I don't know if I just disconnected again.
No, you're good. I recently got myself a DUI back in May, and in the state of Mississippi, you have to go through the MASAP program. It's 4 classes. Wednesday nights takes you about a month to do, and the last class, it's you're taking. You take a few tests, and then they'll send the test down to Jackson, and it'll come back, and it reveals a whole lot about yourself. With not only if you have a substance abuse problem, like if you're well on your way to alcoholism, or if it's a drug problem, or whatever else, but it also lets you know a lot about your stressors, your triggers, how you cope, and you said something just then about laughter. That made me think about that is one of the last things that we had to do, and I'm finished with the classes now, but they were talking about ways to cope, and it broke down in numbers, and right in the middle, like you had unhelpful, then you had this could be, and humor was in this vein. It can be helpful or it can be detrimental, and then you had helpful ways to cope, and my highest ranking was humor. So you have unhelpful, the thing in the middle, which humor falls in that, and then you have helpful ways to cope. And I ranked highest on humor, self-deprecating and all this and that. But kind of going back to that guy's speech is you can, and this was the thing that the teacher was saying, you can use humor or all these different coping mechanisms, but if they're not leaning you more toward the helpful side, it can be very bad because you know, stress or anxiety or anything else that can kill you just as quick. I mean, it'll lead you to a heart attack, a stroke, just high blood pressure, whatever else. But
yeah.
There is something to laughter in the brain, whatever dopamine or chemical it releases. And I mean, that's what we all need right now.
Yeah, 100%. It's just, and like I said earlier with like my sports as a distraction, I think comedy is a good distraction too from the stressors of life. Whether however you consume it, it's just find something that you find funny and fucking just stick with it. Because all our humor, and that's a beautiful thing about comedy too. It's everyone finds different things funny, so it's perfect. All walks of life.
Well, right on, brother. I think we have approached the hour mark. I don't want to take
yes, sir.
Up too much of your time.
No, you're good.
Couple more questions to walk it out of the door is as far as the socials and what you got going on with the game and. Where can people go to find you and tell us a little bit about what you got going on?
Socials, trying to get more active on Twitter without saying dumb shit, or X. It's at Jared Kenny, Juliet Alpha Romeo Echo Delta Kilo Echo November November Echo Yankee. If you could fucking follow that, and then on Twitch too, JFK underscore headshots. Like I said, those are my initials, and found it fucking funny, so I'm gonna send it.
Right on. Question two, man, is man, what are you looking forward to most with the rest of this year?
Trying to get to more open mics, just become get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's like a big hard step, but I think that's one thing. And then now we have fucking football season literally starting next week, and we're closely approaching the best time of year.
That's right. So don't be scheduling your daggum weddings during this time of year. Or
Absolutely.
we will not go. Or I'll be on my phone the whole time watching the game. All right, last question to walk it out of the door, dude. What was your favorite part of the conversation?
I think it's just every time me and you talk, and that's just the thing I love about life, like how interests everyone ha different has interests, or like when people like come across each other in life, it's perfect. And like I like having conversations with people from all walks of life, you know.
Right
And
on.
I think so that's the whole I love the whole interview. That's my favorite part. I mean, I know it might sound stupid or whatever, but like, you know, that's what I love about it, because we come from two completely different places in the world, or not in the world, in the country, basically. And you know, look what happened, look where we are now. It's almost like that meme, you know. But
That's it.
it's just, you know, that's my favorite thing about it.
All right, Jared. Man, thank you so much for your time, and that's going to do it here for us. Guys, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Google Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review the show, tell your friends, get the word out. And that's going to do it here for us, man. Jared, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. See you guys later. Appreciate it.
A Juco king, a gut full of pride with a head full of steam. But 6 months later, I was clocking in the same dang place my daddy did. Can't go cheap on a pair of work boots at 4 a.m. you don't get used to. The babies come and the bills do too, but that don't leave you with much to choose. And baby, I swear that I'm trying. Baby, I swear to God I'm trying. Slow me down, steady my heart, lead me around, let's go too far. Just spin me around, just take me out, show me what this is all about. Still stuck in childish ways, but lose someone you truly love can make you wanna straighten up. But baby, I swear that I'm trying. Baby, I swear to God I'm trying. Slow me down and steady my heart, lead me around, let's go too far. Spin me around, or just take me out, show me what this is all about. swear that I'm trying. And baby, I swear to God, I'm trying. Slow me down and steady my heart. Lead me around, let's go too far. Spin me around, just take me out. Show me what this is all about. Juco King, a gut full of pride with a head full of steam. Thank y'all.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.